has begun!
Get down here!
My name is Alice.
It was Tuesday.
I don't like no Captain Kirk Tux.
Too bad, you... die!
You said it. At your service, ma'am.
Ouch. I could use pants.
I thought you were dead, you asshole.
Hello, and welcome to Reset and Rewind, the video game movie podcast, semi-bonus episode. My name is Doug, full name, Doug None of Your Fucking Business. I'm here with Kevin.
Get over here.
And Paul.
Hi. I don't know any other tagline in this.
Oh, come on. Fatality.
Oh, yeah, good, yeah.
So usually we chronologically discuss every video game movie ever, but on this episode we're jumping ahead to the current year of 2021 and talking about Mortal Kombat 2021. I enjoyed this film.
I did too. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was a great popcorn flick. 100% would watch again. I had a great time with it.
I was eating popcorn during this film.
Yeah, me too. My only complaint is I wish I would have really seen it in a movie theater, because I think I would have had a lot of fun.
I agree. I think it was made for the movie theater. At least it felt that way.
Watch it from the comforts of our own homes on HBO Max.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah. I did have my surround sound on, which I don't use very often, and this time it like blew me away.
There were so many... I had very low expectations walking into this.
Same.
I knew zero of the actors who were going to play any of these roles. I have not seen a movie by the director. I had pretty low expectations. And then the first 15, 20 minutes blew me away. And then it just was just a fun movie. So, yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it too. I loved the beginning part as well. And we're going to sort of deep dive more into the movie later. But yeah, I think the whole vibe of the movie and the fact that it didn't reveal all of the Mortal Kombat characters, it didn't try to do like an Annihilation where it added every single fucking Mortal Kombat character you could think of. It was just sort of lighter on it. I kind of like that.
We had a very good selection of characters.
Yeah.
But it didn't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
And every character made sense. And yeah. They even included some characters that I didn't think would ever be in a Mortal Kombat movie, like Reiko.
Yeah.
From Mortal Kombat 4, the guy who looks like Robin, did not think he would ever make it into a movie. He looks a lot different than he did in Mortal Kombat 4. I think... He looked more like he did in the film. But yeah, such a strange choice.
Yeah.
It was.
I also felt like that was a super strange choice. And there are so many iconic characters in the franchise. And I'm really glad that they're just saving some of them for later on. Specifically, they didn't do any Reptile stuff.
No, Reptile was in it.
Oh, yeah, Reptile was in it. That's right. Smoke is who I'm trying to talk about.
Smoke.
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I'm really happy that they kept some of the characters back. I'm really happy that they promoted some of the characters, like Kung Lao. I did not expect him to be as good in this movie as he was.
Yeah.
But he was great.
Yeah, I agree. I think... Honestly, I think they did a really good job. A lot of people... let's talk about some of the other reviews if you guys want to jump into that.
Yeah, let's jump
quick.
Into that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, because this movie, even though we all liked it, a lot of people... it was mixed. A lot of people didn't really like it. Though we look at video game movies all the time, so we might have a little bit of a different perspective than some of these people. And I think some of the people were expecting like some sort of amazing masterpiece of film or something.
Yeah,
because some of the reviews were just like, the story didn't make any sense. I felt like I needed to know all about Mortal Kombat to know even what this movie was about. And for one, I didn't think that at all. I didn't know who Cole Young was, actually, which I feel stupid for not knowing who he was, but I didn't know that, and it didn't make me feel like I didn't know the film at all. I've only played one Mortal Kombat, and some of the people were like, you need to play every single Mortal Kombat game to understand what's going on. What? I don't understand people.
You have to play Mortal Kombat 2 for the Game Boy.
I mean, I think that's part of the issue, is like, people want to know all about the stuff before they go and see these movies. Like, that's part of the problem. When I talk to my wife about watching any of these Marvel movies, she's like, I feel like I need to have read everything and have watched everything before I even go and watch anything new. And I don't really think it's necessary, especially for a movie like Mortal Kombat. You don't need to know anything other than this is Mortal Kombat. They're going to fight. You know, I think expectations and baggage that you carry into these films really dampers the experience of the film.
Yeah.
Specifically, the opening 15 minutes of this movie pretty much explain to you what you need to know, right? The Scorpion Sub-Zero kind of backstory is laid out. And I think that's probably the most critical narrative in Mortal Kombat in general, is that battle between Scorpion's family and Sub-Zero's family.
Yeah.
That constantly goes on throughout all the games. And it's laid out pretty beautifully for you right in the beginning. But yeah.
So unlike the first movie, this starts out immediately with people getting sliced up. And like the other two movies, like the first movie and Annihilation, had great fight choreography. Yeah. Well, Annihilation had just regular choreography in some scenes because of dance fighting. But yeah, it was great. And also, I thought it was funny. It takes place in 1600s Japan. And last time we visited that time and place on this podcast, there were turtles riding horses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that whole opening sequence a lot. Like, that just sort of blew me away. How they made it subtle. Because, like, at first, you knew he was Sub-Zero. And I kind of assumed that this was going to be Scorpion. But at the same time, like, the fact that he picked up that little blade that she was using, that his wife was using for gardening, and then like tied a rope to it, I was like, damn, this guy's gonna be Scorpion. And that was really cool how they introduced that. It was interesting how they introduced Sub-Zero too. It was almost like he was discovering his ice abilities at that moment, because he like reached out his hand with the kid, and then like this ice started coming out of it, and his hand was bleeding. So I feel like he didn't know that he had the powers, and then suddenly he just belted out the powers from there on.
Yeah,
that ice effect looked great.
It was awesome. That was fantastic. That was really great. All of the fighting was really great at the beginning. The actor that they got to play Scorpion just nailed it. Great facial expressions. I loved it. Yeah, that whole battle was awesome. And it was heartbreaking too, right? I would have loved a whole movie of just that, right?
I agree.
And in some ways we got that movie, but man, I was really impressed with that. I thought that mm-hmm. that was going to be what we were going to get, was little vignettes of character backstory, but it took a different turn, and I was okay with that. I would have loved just little vignettes like Sub-Zero, Scorpion backstory.
Yeah, it took a turn back to what the original Mortal Kombat movie is about.
Yeah.
Which is just the tournament. Yes. Yeah. I think was cool. I liked that idea. I also liked how they sort of did an origin for each of the characters. Like, Jax was one of my favorite origins in this film too. I like how he was a badass fighter and he just got his arms like ripped off by Sub-Zero, which was insane.
Brutal dismemberment.
Yes,
unbelievable. Yeah, I really liked that. Jax had a really great kind of like origin story here, but I also just like seeing Kung Lao and Liu Kang and Raiden just like already in existence, knowing what they're doing, ready to continue on the battle. I really liked seeing them. Just, we didn't really need to know much about them because they're I mean, if you know anything about Mortal Kombat, you already know about at least two of those three people. And the guy who played Shang Tsung, I never thought that you could have another person play Shang Tsung as well as the original Mortal Kombat guy. But for some, I was fine with this. It was great. He's not as iconic looking, but still, he's great.
He has those weird contacts in his eyes. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that guitarist from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, he did have a little bit of like a weird early 2000s vibe to him, just his outfit in general. And I would say that was probably one of the knocks that I have, is the outfits were kind of weird. They weren't great, but I was okay with it. Sub-Zero's looked great. Scorpion's looked really good too. I think the highlights for me were both of those characters, though. I keep going back to them because I was just kind of blown away by how well they did, both of them.
Oh, yeah. The movie was overshadowed by them. It was more of a story about them. It was a story about the other guys, too, but I feel like it was in the depths of the story, it was about those two, which I think was deserved. Because we didn't really get that. If you think about the earlier movies, Mortal Kombat just like had them peppered in.
Yeah.
They were just fighters. And Annihilation barely had them. They were cameos at that point.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is the new character of this movie, which is Cole Young, who I will say I was not a huge, I'm not a huge fan of this character. I get why they did it. I understand it, but he's a little bit too Luke, A New Hope, right? He's a little bit too whiny, a little bit too like young and naive, and he quickly grows up in the movie, and that's fine. But I don't know. I wasn't sold. I don't know about you guys.
I didn't like him.
I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah.
I liked, I don't know, the MMA fighter down on his luck. He gets tapped out by some random bald dude we never see again. So, I don't know. I just didn't see him as being the main protagonist of the film.
Yeah.
I just felt like he was just, I know he didn't discover his arcana yet, which we'll get to. Yep. By the way, arcana is like the force in this Mortal Kombat film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it in the games? Like, do they ever explain powers as being arcana in the games?
I don't think so. I've never heard of arcana in any of the games.
If it is in there, I don't think it's as heavily referenced as this. I really wish they would have just once said animality. Just once.
That'll be the next animality. I think it said either five or six of these are coming out. Like one of the actors has signed up for five or six of these movies. So we have a lot of these coming out. Oof.
You know what was great about this film? It was less than 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like normal length movies. I don't know why every film has to be 2.5 hours long, but it was like an hour and 40 minutes maybe.
So hold on. I got to interject with one of these reviews here. He said, This guy says, the Earthrealm characters felt rushed. They could have easily made this a 3 hour long film to bring out characters.
Who wants this?
He wanted that?
Yeah. He said that was a con of this movie, was that it wasn't Shao long Kahn? Enough.
Shao Kahn, exactly. I was super happy that this was very short. I don't know.
Yes.
I agree with Doug. I don't need to know that much about these characters. I mean, especially like Sonya Blade, they gave too much exposition about her in the background. She's like a former fighter. She's a former like soldier, down on her luck now. Everybody's down on their luck. She lives in a trailer park. Like, that's enough for me. I'm sold. I don't need to know more. What am I supposed to know? Like, her relationship with her mother? What like thing does that play on this movie? I don't need to know any more than what I have. Same thing with Jax. Like, I'm fine with this.
I feel like a lot of people, because of the Marvel movies and stuff, they get this idea where they need to know everything about every character.
Yeah.
and they need to have this deep dive into even the most obscure characters. But it doesn't make any sense. I like the mystery. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I hope that in the future movies they don't do this like deep dive into each of the characters. If they're going to make six movies, then maybe they will, but I hope they don't.
My favorite plot device in this whole movie, and we'll get to it later, but it's when the new character, Cole Young, says to Raiden, "Oh, you can just transport people everywhere, right?" And Raiden's like, "Yeah, I can transport people wherever you fucking want." And he's like, "Let's do it." And then they just transport people. And it's like, yeah, I'm glad. Let's just do that. I don't need to know anything else. Just, like, ask the question, say yes, and do it.
I don't know. I think I miss the hamster balls that they rolled around in Annihilation.
Yeah.
The energy from the earth and the thermal power, right? Remember that scientific explanation they gave for that?
Yeah.
And this one, no scientific explanation. No. You're a fucking lightning bolt. You get shot somewhere else. Good enough.
Literally three sentences. You can move anybody anywhere, right, Raiden? Yes, I can. Great. And then they do. And that was it. It's great. Perfect writing. I don't care. Move on. Progress the story.
It's a fucking it's a video game movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like some people, this guy who wanted the 3-hour film, he wanted them to walk everywhere. He just wanted everybody to watch people walk to their destination.
Yeah.
And that's too much. Like, we saw them in the desert. They were walking. That's good enough. No more walking from that point on.
Well, in Annihilation, they would just flip everywhere.
Like the Power Rangers, just like flipping all over the place. Oh. So what do you guys think of Kano? Because
he was great.
I loved Kano. He was my favorite character in this. I liked his ridiculous, over-the-top jokes. Probably people didn't like his writing very much. Thought it was a little too corny, but I loved that corniness. So to me, the reason I liked this movie is because it sort of brought me back to an earlier time, it felt like. It didn't feel like an overproduced Marvel movie or something like that. It felt like just a cheesy video game movie, but a little bit better.
Yeah.
And that's why I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
They threw in all these very cheesy lines. Even Kano, he goes, "Kano wins."
Yeah.
At one point. And I was just like, a lot of people might have thought that was too cheesy. I thought it was great. And Kung Lao says, "Fatality."
Yeah.
Then, like, several people just say
flawless different things. Victory. And,
yeah. Oh, that's what it was. It was flawless victory. And he flips his, like, helmet around. It's perfect. Like, the callbacks to the games were amazing.
I think Liu Kang says, he goes, "Fatality for Kung Lao." He says something like that.
Yes, I think you're right. And
after he kills Cabal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the other thing I really liked as a callback to the game was Liu Kang when he's fighting Kano. I don't know if you noticed, he did the like spin kick.
Yeah.
And he kept tripping Kano like three times over. That was a callback to cheese moves in the game, because fucking assholes would do that all the time, including myself, and just make people drop all the time like that. And it was a great callback.
And Kano says, "Is that the only move you know?"
It's great. It's great.
Perfect.
It's like what an older brother would say to their little brother who keeps doing the same move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point, Kevin. It did bring me back to, like, just, I don't know, when kind of movies were just, like, meant to be movies and they weren't, like, nodding towards some, like, larger, giant, like, narrative. It's just, like, a self-contained, fun movie. And it, you know, it didn't take itself too seriously, but it wasn't, like, Snakes on a Plane not taking itself too seriously. It was just like, I'm going to have fun with this. And you can tell that the director and the writers really respect the source material, because everything is kind of just laid bare there, and they only heighten the kind of silly nature of things when they think that it's necessary.
Yeah.
I love all the callbacks to Flawless Victory or Fatality, but I also really like the camera shots. There's like beautiful camera shots, specifically in the Sub-Zero Scorpion battle, where they zoom out the camera and then have it 2D fighting, where it's just Sub-Zero and Scorpion facing off against each other. That's great camera work, and it also plays right back into the game. They did the same thing with Jax on that bridge. Just did 2D, and then bam, the fight happened. And I was... this is perfectly fine. That's an awesome way to like be reverent towards the games. I liked that a lot too.
Agreed.
But yeah, Kano was great.
I also like
fucking great
the callbacks to like the finishing moves that people did, like Kano ripping out the heart of Reptile, and Kung Lao using his helmet to like chop up.
Yeah.
Who was the bat girl?
That was Nitara.
Yeah.
Okay.
She, another strange choice. She was in weird. Deadly Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know who she was. It didn't even say she was there. She was in the movie for maybe like 30 seconds and just got immediately chopped up. But I liked how they had finishing moves like that. They also had Liu Kang's finishing move with the dragon flew out of the water and burnt the guy. Yeah, that was really cool.
Oh, Scorpion's taking off of his mask, and then he just like blows fire on him. It was great.
Yeah, there was that, and then the other finishing move was Shang Tsung's soul sucker. He sucked the soul out of Kung Lao, and that was really cool.
Sonya blows a hole through Melina, like an actual hole, which was great. Awesome.
Jax did a great job.
Busts that guy's head in half. Like pops.
Oh, down yeah. Yes.
That was the coolest fatality in the movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
That actor who played Reiko, he was in, what's it called? Fury Road.
Oh, was he? I recognize him.
Yeah, he's Nathan Jones. He's like this 7-foot-tall actor. He was also in Doom Runners. Remember that old movie from like the late 90s?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
With Tim Curry.
I kind of want to watch it now.
He was in
he was just like this silent. He was like this silent giant guy who would just follow these the main protagonists around.
He was in the reboot for Conan too. It's such a weird character to put into this film, Mortal Kombat wise. I fully agree.
But I like that because they're just like slowly peppering in people. Like you didn't have Johnny Cage, who is one of the original fighters, and a lot of people might have been unhappy with that, but I think that was a good move. I was unhappy with it at first when I learned that Johnny Cage wasn't in it, because I really like Johnny Cage, and the fact that they just are kind of using him as a cliffhanger for the next movie is really good.
I think it was a good idea not to put him in this film because Kano was the comic relief.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if we had Johnny Cage and Kano in the same movie, it would have been too much.
Right.
Way too much. I fully agree. Kano did a great job. I mean, he carried the C-3PO R2-D2 role real well throughout this whole movie. Just like the comedy chorus the whole time.
Yeah.
And I loved his like twist, his betrayal was great too.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
Like, you knew it was coming the entire movie, but still, it was really good.
I have to talk about some really funny lines from Kano. I think one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when they meet Liu Kang for the first time. And Liu Kang just says, "We have much to learn." As he's saying this, he puts his hand on Kano's shoulder. And Kano just goes, "The fuck?" Just the reaction and delivery of that was just so funny.
That was amazing. I laughed real hard at that.
And just when he talks to Kung Lao, like first he calls him, he says he has a frisbee hat.
Yep.
And then he says he's going to shove his sombrero up his ass. That was funny too.
Yeah, he's like, I hope I don't. He's like, so some guy, I hope I get fireballs. I hope I don't get the frisbee. That's what he says. And it's really good. Just amazing. He had a lot of good line, like little one-liner jokes, and they were all spot on, and they felt like they would have come from this character. And that's why I think they were so funny, because they were all like, this guy's a fucking asshole, but he's kind of a hilarious asshole at the same time.
I fully agree.
I also like how he's trying to start his own graphic novel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's drawing.
And just how Sonya has him tied up in her trailer like he's like Sloth from the Goonies.
Sonya is a weird character in this movie. I kind of liked her. I kind of didn't. They did a okay job of making her like the underdog, and she gets the tattoo from, you know, killing Kano sort of thing. That's fine. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I got some Sarah Connor vibes from her, and I like that. Yeah. Because I like Sarah Connor in Terminator.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. Yeah, I enjoyed Sonya in this film.
I guess that's a good point. I think that's the character who I was trying to figure out who she reminded me of. It is kind of Sarah Connery.
Definitely.
As opposed to the first, I guess what I was referring to is like the first movie that she was in, where she was kind of less aggressive, more like inquisitive. And in this one, she's more like take charge. So, yeah.
I thought that was a better role for her overall.
Yeah.
I hated the first Sonya and her... Like, she seemed like she was taking charge in that first, the Billy Madison girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But then she suddenly decided that she was going to be, like, the damsel in distress. And it was stupid. Like, that was awful. And then the second Sonya in the other movie just couldn't live without Jax, which was just stupid. I don't know. I liked her in this movie, but maybe it's just because I don't have anything else to compare her to.
Yeah, the Sonya in this movie didn't scream, "Let me go!"
Yeah.
Let me go!
So, yeah, Jax's arms growing on, I thought that was a really cool addition that they did, and they made his arcana his arms, which I thought was really well done. It was way better than freaking Annihilation's. Yeah. No explanation, where he was just like, I don't even know why I'm here.
In Annihilation, he has the arms, he immediately starts using them and knows exactly what to do. In this movie, his arms are ripped off, so he has these bionic arms, and he doesn't know how to use them at all. He's getting used to he's like training with them. He even it's kind of a heartbreaking scene where he just says to Sonya, like, I'm useless. I can't use these things. These aren't my arms. Yeah. Like, I can't fight anymore. And then eventually he does train with them, and then his powers help his arms grow. His arcana helps his arms grow to their full potential.
So, which was so much cooler than him ripping off the arms later on and being like, I don't need these.
I don't need these. I really liked that scene where he has these like puny like stick metal arms and then gets punched and just like they crumble. And then he gets thrown over and he's trying to lift up this rock with these like puny-ass arms and then grows the actual ones. Mm-hmm. I liked that a lot. I thought that was pretty good character development too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Quick question. Are Sonya and Jax married in this film? Are they in a relationship? No. Okay.
No. They're just friends, it seems like. Okay. I think they're setting it up for... I think Sonya falls in love with Johnny Cage. So I think that's what they're going to set up in the next movie.
Johnny!
Since she's...
Johnny!
So another cool thing that they added, and maybe a lot of people didn't like this, was the gratuitous blood. There was so much blood. And I think it was well done. A great little subtle nod, or maybe not so subtle nod to
the not subtle at all.
to the game. I mean, like, this blood was flying out, and I don't remember them doing that in the previous films. I don't remember there being a ton of blood, and this was just, like, at the forefront.
Yeah, this movie almost got an NC-17 rating because of how much gratuitous violence was in there, and it was very, very close to getting it, and it, you know, NC-17 rating is like a death stamp for a movie. Yeah. It doesn't make any money, but they came really close. I really, really am, what's the word, skittish of gratuitous violence in films. But this, you know, I went into it knowing it's a Mortal Kombat movie, so you have to know that there's going to be a lot of violence. And, you know, between the saw blade that the Bat Lady goes into from Kung Lao, to the exploding head, to, you know, Bi-Han just like lighting himself on, getting lit on fire by Scorpion. All of it was so gratuitous and so funny and like comical and super fun. I really loved all the blood everywhere.
Yeah, too. I agree with you. I think it was funny, which to me, maybe it makes me sound like a crazy person, but like I thought it was funny just because it was so over the top. Like it didn't like try to be too serious about it. Plus, they usually, after they did some really crazy bloody scene, they usually followed it up with a cheesy line to just sort of make you chuckle a little bit, which I think that's what Mortal Kombat the game is really about too. Like, I think the game is even more over the top than the movie is, but still, I think they did a good job sort of walking that line.
Yeah, I liked all of that. I really liked that, you know, somebody ripped out a heart in this film and just like showed it. I thought all of that was really good. It wasn't trying to be Saw, and it wasn't trying to be like, you know, any of those detective movies where like somebody gets shot and you see blood and they're like traumatized for the rest of their lives. I know if I was watching a much more serious film, seeing any of this would have just like completely screwed over a person, but I liked that they didn't take it too seriously. We're just kind of playing around.
What'd you think of Outworld in this film?
I mean, I liked it. I mean, it was bland.
That's what I expect from Outworld.
It was just vapid and bleak. There were just a lot of browns and grays, very plain mountains and cliffs. I don't know. I just feel like it could have used a little bit more. That's just my opinion.
I'm curious if they'll do more with it in the next movie. They'll like dive down a little bit deeper into it, bring you to an actual location instead of it just being like you said, a wasteland pretty much. Is it supposed to be like hell? Or what is this Outworld place? It's
another dimension.
Oh, it's another dimension.
They have hell. They call it the Nether Realm in the Mortal Kombat universe.
Okay.
That's where Scorpion goes.
Yeah, that's where Scorpion was.
They don't really explain why he goes to the Nether Realm, but like when he dies, he just kind of, he kind of fades away like a Jedi.
Yeah, he burned. And then just,
I really liked that, all that stuff. His hatred was just so great that he kept himself alive and slowly took over the Netherworld because he was just so angry. I kind of liked Outer World. I thought it was bleak and bland and kind of blech, but I also recognize that is, we only saw it for like less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't see it very long.
So I'm interested to see what they do with it going forward, but I agree it wasn't notable. But I also was not a huge fan of Raiden's temple either.
No.
With the sand. I think location-wise, that's something that they could have definitely improved. Yeah, I mean, aside from the opening 15 minutes, which I keep coming back to is like very, very good, that location was awesome.
Oh, that was amazing.
I really liked that. I would have loved to see more battles in there. But everywhere else, it was kind of, most of the areas were kind of bland. Even, I think the most memorable location was Sonya's fucking trailer park, which I actually kind of enjoyed every time that they went back to fight.
Yeah, I think that was cool. That must have been a location in the game, right? Sonya's trailer?
I mean, they kept going
there, so it seemed like it must have been like a callback or something. Sonya's trailer park. No, I think
I'm gonna make a shirt now. Just Sonya's trailer park.
It's next to the tree with the face on it.
Yeah, they had. I think Raiden's temple is definitely in the game. The fight scene between Cole Young and Goro was an interesting location to have him sort of at for Goro.
Yeah, like Country Town, yeah. USA backyard. And Goro's just like beating up a fucking barn.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think he would pop out of like somebody's shed. It's so weird.
It was a little bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah, Goro looks like the fucking...
Oh my god, that is crazy. Same exact thing. I wrote the same thing too. Yeah.
We all wrote that. That's insane.
Because I was like, his face is the fucking Hulk.
He just looks like the Hulk.
Even like his mannerisms. They could have done a lot better.
Yeah, like everything. Exactly.
And just Goro kind of, he just growls and grunts. I think he has like one line, like, me crush you like ant or something like that.
Was it played by Garofalo? Yeah. Is that why? What's his name? The guy...
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
I don't know actors' names.
I know. It just looked like the Hulk. They could have done a lot better, and especially since the Marvel movies are so big right now. All I did was look at them, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's four-armed peach Hulk." That's it.
His face was totally modeled after Hulk. That was it.
Yeah. That was one character where I was okay if they didn't bring him in. I would have loved to see them like kind of hold him back. Especially since the first Mortal Kombat movie did that character so well. Just the animatronics and even the fighting there. I thought they did that really well.
He looked better in the first movie, in my opinion.
I think so too. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. That is one thing I would say they did not use well was that character. They introduced him badly. His fighting location was kind of silly. And the fact that he was used to bring Cole's power out was kind of weird. I don't know. It seemed sort of forced. Like they were just like, we need a character to fight Cole Young and bring his arcana out. Let's choose one of the most iconic villains to do it. And I didn't like that very much.
Something about Cole's arcana... I really dislike his armor that he gets as part of his arcana. It looks like a sweater that his grandma made him for Christmas.
Yeah, I fully agree. It looks so bad.
I like
the
sickles sticking out of his wrist. Those were kind of cool, but I didn't like the sweater look. Just
that's what he wears in the game. He wears the sweater.
he looks like a half-formed Power Ranger, right? Like, it's just like half of a Power Ranger right there. Yeah, I didn't like that either. All around, I didn't really love his character, especially after he got his Arcana and suddenly was like, I'm in charge. Everybody, here's how we do it.
Yeah, there were some other things I didn't like about him. So they sort of slow-rolled you his family. So I didn't realize that girl was his daughter. I mean, I guess it should have been obvious. Had no idea that was his wife in the beginning until like you see them kissing, and then he did the most disgusting thing. And if my dad or mom ever did this, I would be so grossed out, I'd be disgusted. The girl's eating an ice cream cone, and he slurps and puts his mouth on the ice cream and like sucks it up a little bit. And that just totally grossed me out. I've never seen anyone do that before. And I mean, some of that ice cream was in his mouth. He had to spit some of it. It's just disgusting. I after that moment, I was like, all right, I'm done with this character.
I think it's because we're living in a post-COVID world. That's how we're just grossed out by things like that now.
Oh, no. I've always been grossed out by things like that. And that I would never be able to live with. Someone must have thought that was endearing or something. No, it was disgusting.
Let's talk about that scene, because that's the first time that you see Sub-Zero in costume doing his thing. And his introduction in the modern world was awesome. He like lifts all this stuff up and just starts throwing it. That was like on par with the introduction of Kylo Ren in Force Awakens. Like, just as like sinister and threatening, but it was like between that scene of him just like lifting up stuff and throwing it and Shang Tsung's swallowing of his soul, like those two scenes are very, very good emblems of like how evil these two characters are.
It was great. Yeah, I liked how when Sub-Zero was introduced into the world, there was like snow or something falling down, and like giant clumps of stuff just like falling everywhere. Of ice, and I thought that was really cool.
We did get one of the most predictable lines in film history. When it started snowing out, I was just waiting for someone to say, but it's in the middle of July, and someone said that.
And this is the perfect movie to do that. Like, you gotta add those cheesy lines. Another cheesy line was right after this was when Jax was fighting. He had a bunch of, like, silly one-liners, too. One of them was where he was fighting Sub-Zero and he goes, I did 6 tours, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. I knew that was going to happen, too.
And it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you want to play hide and seek? And then he just gets his ass handed to him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was destroyed in the beginning.
So, Liu Kang. I like Liu Kang's character in this movie. Yeah. But he's in, like, the undercard in this movie. In the first film, and in Annihilation, he was part of the main event, like the final showdown.
Yeah.
In the final showdown in this film is Scorpion versus Sub-Zero. But with Liu Kang, the first movie he fought against Shang Tsung. The second movie he fights against Shao Kahn. This movie, Cabal.
Yeah.
And Kit kind of gets fucking owned for most of it, except for... like, right towards the end when he gets his fire dragon going.
He does
going.
His kick.
Yeah.
Which I like. Yeah.
I love that. I'm okay with them taking a different direction, choosing a different character to really focus on. But it does feel super weird that they relegated him that low on the
totem pole. Yeah, I think they're setting up for his actual story where he dies and then becomes, like, undead Liu Kang. Later on, I bet that's what they sort of do with him, because you can't have a character like that be your main character if he's gonna die at some point. So I'm guessing they'll kill him off.
Yeah, I found it weird. I think the actor's fine. The actor did a great job of him, of playing him. I really liked his relationship with Kung Lao. I thought that was good too. We haven't talked at all about Raiden, who. Don't get me wrong. I think this guy did a great job, but I still want just Mortal Kombat 1994 or 95 or whatever it is. That guy who would just like just laugh every once in a while. I missed him. I missed looking at him.
I missed him a lot too. I was really upset, and I was also upset that he didn't laugh. At all. He didn't have any laughing.
He was an asshole in this movie.
Yeah.
But an enjoyable asshole. Because when he meets our heroes in the beginning, plus Kano, he's like, this is what you brought me, Liu Kang? These fucking losers?
Yeah.
And then he gives them all their, he tells them all their flaws, except for Kano. And then Kano's just like, you didn't tell me my flaws, Gandalf.
I loved it. Yeah, I thought Raiden was like a great dick. Super strong and powerful. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed him in it. I just really wish one of my complaints of this movie is I really wish that they would have referenced the other two movies a little bit more. Just like winks and nudges. And they did it in one big way. Other than that, they didn't really do it too much.
What was the one big way? The music?
Musical cue Sub-Zero and Scorpion are about ready.
They actually did it a few times in the movie. I think there was another one where Cole Young was fighting Goro. They did it at one point too. Yeah. They sprinkled it in a few times, and I liked that a lot.
Me too. I really wish they would have done it a little bit more, but I liked the musical cue.
So Cabal, what was up with his voice? When they introduced him, I feel like his voice just didn't fit. He's like, Gano's a no good piece of shit, scumbag.
Yeah.
He had like this gruff, like, Brooklyn accent.
It was a little bit odd.
I knew. He put me in this outfit. Like, I don't know. It was a mixture of, like, Australian Brooklyn sort of thing. I kept feeling like they were trying to pull a Wolverine on us. Like, that's how it's kind of like a weird, like, bub. Like, yeah, like growly, like, weird accented character. I felt like they were trying to do that. Yeah, I don't know. Cabal was weird. I also would have liked to see him a little bit more, but I'm glad that they gave him a little bit more screen time than they really screwed over Melina. They gave her like three lines, and she's like a fan favorite. And I understand why people are pissed off that she didn't get more screen time, because she's actually
kind of cool. She'd have a showdown with Kitana, who is not in this film.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Kitana is probably a fan favorite too, so she'll be in another one.
And soon, you.
Too bad you will die.
I also was kind of questioning why Kitana wasn't in this. Are these all of the heroes? That was one of my questions, was they only brought in these, and now the next movie they're going to go search for all the others. And so I would imagine they're going to find Kitana and Johnny Cage and a couple others.
Yeah, okay. I would assume that they're trying to, like, slow roll all the characters, and they didn't want to bring all the big ones in, because then you've just used up all your big characters. So might as well start to sprinkle them in. Though I'm still surprised they used up Goro as a villain, because they probably could have used him a little bit better later on.
Kentaro's never been in any of the films, so they should bring him in.
I was going to say, yep. I was also really, like, surprised that he didn't do Baraka at all. I understand Noob they'll probably do the next game, because Bi-Han is dead, so he's obviously going to become Noob. So Noob, that makes sense. It's so weird that they brought in Cabal, but not C-Rax or somebody. I also laughed, because I swear to God, I thought I saw this trailer and I was like, oh, they are going to bring in Motaro. He's going to be in this. And he's not, obviously, but I was pretty excited to see maybe he could be. He's not.
Bring him in.
If those bars could keep me away from you, Shiba, I would welcome them.
I mean, he's a fucking horse. That would be strange.
There are a couple things I wanted to talk about in terms of, like, kind of cons of the movie. I would say we've already talked about Cole Young as probably one of the biggest con. He is the biggest one for me. I didn't like him at all in this movie. He was not a super likable or relatable protagonist. In terms of his switch and becoming more confident in himself, I didn't buy that either. I didn't feel like he was a very skilled fighter either. There were other characters in this, like Sonya, who I felt confident that she could win any battle, right? Same thing with Jax. Even Liu Kang, I thought, was capable. Cole Young was not. I was not a fan that they killed off Kung Lao. I would have liked to see him stay around. I actually think he was my favorite character in this movie, aside from Kano. But I really liked Kung Lao a ton. And I wish they didn't kill him off. And we've already talked about it. I think Goro was a huge miss. But in terms of everything else, you know, the real winners of this movie are anybody who loves Scorpion and Sub-Zero, because the fight at the beginning and the fight towards the end were awesome.
No
doubt. Just fantastic.
Yeah, I loved that. It was just so amazing. I'm so glad that they decided to focus in on that. And I think that was a good starting point for the series in general, because that has never they didn't really visit that too well. They did have a fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero 2, I guess, like Sub-Zero's son or something, in Annihilation, but that was awful. And I think that's when Scorpion says suckas or whatever.
Suckers! When Sub-Zero's like, oh no, that wasn't me, that was my brother.
Yeah, it was awful. So I'm glad that they focused on the actual rivalry, and they actually gave an origin to it, which was cool.
Yeah, I think the other pitfall of this whole movie is the plot was very predictable. All of the twists that they were talking about, I knew they were coming a mile away, and I knew all the fights were coming a mile away. I kind of knew everything. So in that way, if you're looking for things to hate about this movie, the plot is not, it's no Citizen Kane, but it's, it's very bland, but it's good. It does its job. And I really think that the fight scenes in this, the fight choreography, was really well done. CGI wasn't the best, but the fight scenes were very well
done. That's the thing. I didn't see too much. There wasn't a lot of CGI in this movie.
I agree.
In comparison to some of like the Avengers films, where all of the fight scenes are CGI. There's no... Like, this actually had actual people doing stunts.
Which was
and I missed the,
awesome.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. The Nitara was pretty poor CGI. Okay.
But she was meant to be cut in half by Kung Lao. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think in terms of practical effects, the frozen cage match with Scorpion and Sub-Zero, that was really great. There were a ton of CGI effects there, but I think you can kind of forgive CGI when it's like transparent blue. It's really hard to like spot bad CGI when it's transparent blue.
Well, they sprinkled it in with practical effects, which I think that's why it melded nice. It wasn't just like total CGI CG all over the place. And I think that would have taken away from the movie a lot if they did that. That's why I think the Goro fight wasn't that good, was because the CGI was distracting. And in a way, for that reason, I think it's good that they killed Goro, because if they weren't going to make him an animatronic, they might as well kill him off and be done with him. I don't want to see any CG people. That's why I don't want to see the Horseman, because he'll probably be... Mataro would probably be CGI. Like, they're not going to have the ridiculous outfit that the other guy wore.
This mullet.
Yeah. There's no way. Though, what's her name? Shiva? I hope they do a little bit better with her.
The day's over.
If they ever bring her back, because she was awful.
Oh my god. What a terrible... Ugh. Yeah, I think Doug is kind of spot on with the outer world kind of being bland a little bit. That's true. I'm actually interested to see what they're going to do next in terms of what characters they're bringing in, how they're going to like face them off against one another. It's going to be pretty cool. I wonder if they're going to, it seems like they're going to do a lot of characters here. So I wonder if they're going to do like weird characters.
Oh
like,
yeah. No, they're all in it.
Like, who the hell
the
knows?
Mocap guy.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, it seems like they're just going to go all out. So I
Who's
really
the
hope
guy
they
with
do.
The flies who wears like a diaper. Remember that character?
Oh, yeah. What the hell is that guy's name?
There's another guy whose, like, fatality is, I think, farting. I think they'll probably...
Oh, that's Bo Raicho. They actually mentioned him in the film.
Oh, so he's coming.
He was like Liu Kang's mentor or something like that, which I always found weird because Bo Raicho is, like, a joke character.
Yeah. Maybe they were putting him there because he's not going to be in the film. They just wanted to have a call out to him. I don't think they're going to have a character who farts all the time. This isn't a Shrek movie.
Oh, God. Shrek in Mortal Kombat, that would be great.
Yeah. I think the guy you're talking about, Doug, is
Draman. Yes, I just found him now.
Yeah.
What is this thing?
Weird shit. Yeah, like, any of this stuff. I'm fine if they bring in any of these characters. I would really love to see anybody. I really want to see Meat and Mocap. I think both of those would be great. But just, this random shit, because it feels like this is the type of director and screenwriter and, like, cast that is okay just doing the kind of wacky and wild stuff.
I think they're okay with cheesiness. I mean, just throwing in the lines like we talked about, fatality and all that in there.
Yeah.
It means that they're fine with going with cheesiness. So I wouldn't be surprised if they add some of these joke characters in there, which would be awesome.
Just get all the ninjas in there. You get like Rain, Ermac, Smoke, Noob Saibot.
Oh, they're definitely going to have all those guys.
Chameleon.
Yeah, they need to have all those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is. I hope that this is kind of like the future of
I hope so video too. Game I hope films. It's like a new starting point for them, because what's the next one going to be? It's what's that Last of Us? That's I think the next movie, or is it? That's a TV show.
Yeah.
And then you got Uncharted, which is going to be. I think that's a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are movies that we haven't seen yet or haven't talked about yet that are kind of much more within the same sort of realm as Mortal Kombat right now. For instance, like Sonic the Hedgehog and Detective Pikachu, I think are kind of spiritually in the same vein as That's Mortal true. Kombat. Obviously not with a lot of blood and stuff, but they do kind of take the reference material with like, I don't know, reverence and make it its own. So yeah, I have not seen Monster Hunter, but I don't have that much hopes of it being a kind of new direction for video game movies, but I do think Mortal Kombat would be great if they would continue.
Yeah, I hope they bring out like another Street Fighter. That would be really cool. Something like that.
It makes me feel a little bit okay with the idea of a Metal Gear Solid movie if this is what they're going to try to do, right? If they're going to take the reference material and kind of be lighthearted with it and keep it going, I feel like, fine, I'm okay with that if you can do it in the same vein as Kojima.
Don't
does.
Do like a, I'm okay with a that. Hitman.
Yeah.
Like that movie was awful. I watched it before. We'll obviously be talking about it at some point, but like it was super serious, which the Hitman series is not that serious. So like if they do that with Metal Gear, I'll be very disappointed, because has a lot of jokiness throughout it.
Just take that movie, add an S before the H and a comma in between the T and the M. Shit man.
You went a long way for that one, I liked Doug. It. I'm proud that of you.
Great.
Yeah, and also, you can definitely tell Kano is going to be back in at least one more movie. So.
Like, he's had to have been a favorite for a lot of people.
Yeah, they just shoved a gnome in his eye. They're gonna put the metal thing over it and be fine.
But Sonya gained the. Sonya did get the tattoo. Now, was that from killing him or just beating him? Because I want to say he died, but you're right. They have to explain. They have to give him the bionic eye, and they just have to bring him back because he's. People are gonna want him to come back because he's hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. I would imagine he will probably be back in the same sort of way as Scorpion came back,
I bet,
right?
Shang Tsung brings him back to life.
Yeah. I also don't think Goro is dead.
Yeah,
I would
was
imagine
just
they're
going to
bring back Goro, too. Yeah, totally. Missing an arm, just totally sleeping.
Just a little tired.
Besides Nitara, he had the most brutal death, because like his intestines were hanging out. His one of his four hands fell off, you know.
Yeah. He was definitely sleeping. You're right, Kevin.
Just tired. Tired of not having any innards.
Yeah, solid movie, agreed, guys. Disagreed. Solid movie.
Don't listen to the critics. Don't listen to the one critic who said, I got to read this one because these people are just missing the point. A toothless bore of an action film with a scant side of fun moments. Like, clearly, that guy took this movie far too seriously with the specific, like, very proper language. Toothless bore.
A toothless bore.
Great.
I mean, I don't know why even turn on the film? Like, honestly, why even turn on HBO Max and say, I'm going to watch Mortal Kombat? You know what it's going to be going into this. The perfect example is my sister watched this movie, And she was like, the acting was terrible, but it was fine, right? That's exactly the kind of way you're going to go into this. This is a kung fu movie, a modern kung fu movie. You're not going to get anything great out of it. You're going to get a Mortal Kombat movie. You're going to get a
kung fu. Yeah, I agree. I was very happy with the seeing another kung fu movie, because I actually haven't seen newer kung fu movies in a long time. And I think they did a good job with that, too, catching that vibe of a kung fu movie.
I thought it was great. This movie had a big opportunity for a lot of Asian actors,
too. I agree.
Yeah.
They definitely did that well. I mean, they did a little bit in the Mortal Kombat movie where some people say that was a whitewash, but I wouldn't agree, because the original Mortal Kombat had Liu Kang as the main character, and then it also had Shang Tsung, both Asian American actors.
That's true.
The only one that I could see people being a little bit pissed off with is Raiden, but Raiden was never, his race was ambiguous. So he's a freaking god, so you don't know what race he is.
Yeah, I don't know. Of all the faults of the original Mortal Kombat movie, I think representation was not one of them. They did a pretty good job with representation in the first one. This, however, is much better in terms of representation. They did a really good job of casting characters the right way. You can tell they did their due diligence with that. I would say I would like to see, if they do in the next like 4 or 5 movies, I would like to see more female characters like battling. But I also just want to see more like insane fucking characters. There were not that many insane characters in this. I don't mean like Kano crazy. I mean like just like crazy costume characters, right? Give me some wacky fuckers, like Motaro. Like, give me some wacky ones, like Meat. Like,
he really wants these crazy meat characters.
telling you, give me Meat, man.
I would like to see the tree, the living forest. The trees with the faces, which scared the shit out of me as a kid. Those things, especially there was a tree. I don't know if you remember the level from Mortal Kombat 2 with the trees. If you go like all the way towards the end, there's like one of the trees is making like an O face, and it's horrifying.
I remember being horrified by that stage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, really anybody that is, I'm trying to think. There's a character, Onaga. I'm okay with that. Like, I want to see Night Wolf. Sweet dreams, Liu Kang. Like, give me Night a really Wolf, good Night Wolf again. Coming
pretty soon.
He's, you would, a bigger think
character
Motaro. I don't know.
Well, you gotta have give me all Shao these crazy Khan. Ones he wasn't even, I don't think he was even talked about. Hopefully it's the same lispy actor as before. That would be great.
Mankind will rest in peace.
You just get him back, just bring him right the hell back.
But yeah, I don't know the name of all these characters. They don't have any names next to them, so I don't know who they are. But there's definitely a lot of characters that they could bring into this. So,
and get Jarek in there.
Yeah.
It's over, Jarek. Never, Sonya. The Black Dragon, live on. Oh, the guy!
You have to arrest me! Wait! This is brutality! You can't do it!
Wrong, Jarek. This is not a brutality. This is a fatality.
Wasn't Kano called the Black Dragon in this?
Yeah. I mean, he's the leader of the Black Dragon.
Oh, okay. So, Black Dragon have to be brought in, I would assume.
I think the only character in that clan, though, is in that gang, is Jarek. Kano clone.
Maybe he brings back Kano. Maybe he is Kano in the next movie. It's just Jarek.
Oh, no, I'm the real Kano. The other guy, that's just Jarek.
But yeah, I'm excited for more of these. Wonder how fast they're going to bring them out, or if they're still going to make them. Maybe it didn't do well. I think it did well. I think a lot of people, like we said, 87% on Rotten Tomatoes from the audience, so people loved it. Who cares about the critics?
If you're listening to this podcast, you were gonna like the movie.
The whole movie has been spoiled for you.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that too.
You guys have anything else?
I have nothing. All right. So that does it for this episode of Reset and Rewind, Mortal Kombat from 2021. You could follow us on Instagram. We also have an email at resetandrewindpodcast@gmail.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. How am I going to end this one?
We'll add it in post.
Flawless victory.
The date's over.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Fucking thing sucks. What does that mean, to play us out?
Play us out. What is it?
Here to play us out, Sting, with a song from his new album. Take it away.
Take it away.
He throws the papers all over the place.